Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia El-Khoury.
And I'm Shirley Heyman. Now, tonight's show, another great topic for you. It's going to be all about homeschooling, or as some people call it, elective home education. But we're going to call it homeschooling tonight because we think it's easier. We've got a great lineup of local guests, as usual. Some in the studio, some on the phone. And we hope that by the end of tonight's show, you're really going to understand what it's all about and maybe even make the decision to do that for your child or children. I just wanted to start off tonight with a few facts. I was speaking to a lovely lady today called Christine, and Christine is a home educator herself and is also a teacher who's worked for Herts County Council, so she kind of knows it from both sides. And Christine, who I hope is listening and we may hear from on the phone later, was telling me that actually, you know, there is no requirement for a parent of a child who has never been to school to notify anyone about their intention to home educate. And I guess that means, or maybe, you know, we'll find out tonight, that there are lots of children who are actually even unknown to the authorities who are being homeschooled at the moment in Hertfordshire. I wonder if that's you, if you're listening in tonight. Also, I don't know if you know, but a child in school can be deregistered by their parent at any time with a letter, and the local authority has to comply. Also, Christine told me, and I mean, this kind of stuff I just didn't come across in the research we were doing. There's no duty on the local authority to monitor the parents and what provision they're providing unless they've got grounds to be concerned. And I hope that our guests are going to sort of talk about that tonight. And children with statements of special educational needs, they may well be educated at home. And indeed, one of our guests tonight is going to talk to us about that later. So, Lydia, a packed show.
We've a very busy show and we've got so many diverse perspectives on homeschooling tonight. So I think it'll really answer a lot of questions. Mm. I mean, for me, I knew nothing about the subject. I kind of thought, OK, very simple. It's parents who, you know, want to keep their kids at home for various reasons, but there are so many different reasons why parents would want to homeschool. And I think we've got a great representative of the different voices out there on the show this evening.
I certainly hope so. So anyway, let's start then. We're really happy to welcome Carolyn to our studio. Good evening, Carolyn.
Hello.
Carolyn Crawshaw, who, Carolyn, you're living in St Albans, aren't you?
Yes.
And you have educated, or are educating, put me right in a minute, five children, and you are very passionate about homeschooling, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm currently home educating three. One's at university and one is in sixth form, but I did home educate all five at for many years.
So how many years have you been involved in homeschooling so far?
So far, I think if we count it from my eldest child age five, then that would be 15 years now.
15 years.
Yes.
Wow.
It's such a massive task you've undertaken, Carolyn. I mean, I just can't imagine doing it. Tell us what it involves for you on a daily basis.
Well, it changes all the time depending on the ages of my children and which children I have at home at a certain time. In the early years, I had three little boys who were very active, and most of our home education was outdoors, playing and climbing. They climbing trees, not me. But just really very, very active, very physical home education. And it changed a little bit as they got older. And then we had two girls who were who wanted to stay at home a bit more. But it's been very, very varied. And I could tell you what we did today, and that would probably be give you a taste
for
it.
Well,
okay, so today, one child was at a sleepover with other home educating family.
Mm-hmm.
My other two children, one of them is going to take a public exam soon, so I did a bit of work with him in the morning. And my daughter made cards and friendship bracelets. This was all in the morning. At lunchtime, the other child came home, and all three of us went for a walk to an event that another home educator had organised at Trestle Theatre. And two of the children did a fabulous workshop with masks at the theatre, and then we walked home. One of my children's gone to running tonight, And my other daughter made tea. She made a very tasty spaghetti with salmon on the top, and that was her great achievement today.
So is every day that packed, Carolyn?
That was a really quiet day for us.
Was it?
Everything was local for me. It was really lovely. Often we travel quite a bit. We go to Hemel Hempstead every Tuesday. The children do skiing at the snow centre, and then they do sports with lots of other home educated children on a Tuesday. On a Monday, they do drama. Wednesday, we have lots of people come to us for various activities. Friday, we try to have as quiet day as well.
And can I ask, Carolyn, I can't think outside the box when it comes to education like this. Where do the times table come in? Where do the equations, the reading books, the writing essays, does that fit in to what you're talking about and what you've done?
Yeah, well, I started out thinking, because I was a teacher, I did think I was going to somewhat replicate school at home. And I did try to do things like times tables and workbooks and things, but my older two sons were not interested at all. And I realised actually that the sort of things they were doing was providing them with a much more valuable, varied and interesting education than the sort of things I was thinking of. So I then adjusted my thinking and I retrained myself not to be a teacher at home teaching, but to be a parent who was facilitating her children in their own discovery of the world and in their own discovery of their passions. And we completely changed what we did, and it became a much more creative and versatile way of learning. And the times tables were shelved actually quite early on, and they didn't ever make a reappearance. But my eldest is now studying civil engineering at Leeds University. My second is doing all the sciences and maths for A level. So it didn't seem to matter that they didn't. They did discover their own way of the world. They did work out the times tables through lots of very strange ways. I could talk about it, but I think it would take a long time. But they did work out their times tables, and they did work out spelling. We did loads and loads of reading. The one thing that I found that I could offer them that they wanted to receive, that we all seemed to feel was beneficial and enjoyable, was reading. So we spent hours and hours reading books. I would sit on the settee with them. Whenever I had a baby who was sleeping, we could sit for up to 3 hours just reading books in the early days. And I still try to do that now with my younger ones. So, and then when I didn't have time to read, they had story tapes. So if some child needed me to be doing something different, then they still had lots and lots of stories. So I think for us as a family, we discovered that story time was a really valuable and enjoyable way to learn things. And we spent hours and hours out of the house visiting places with other home educators, visiting museums, or just being in nature, really.
Carolyn, I can see your face, and you know, you are so passionate when you talk about this. It's inspiring. But you know, I was a teacher. I am a teacher. There's a couple of things. There's so much I want to ask you. But first of all, I read recently that universities are really keen to take homeschooled, 18-year-olds or whatever. Do you know anything about that? Is that true?
Yeah. Well, anecdotally, my son's eldest son's peers. He had a good group of friends. There were about eight of them who socialised together from very young, from about five or six. And then they all began to apply to university, and they'd had quite different home ed experiences in terms of exams and whether or not they took public exams. And one of his friends took no public exams at all. But when it came to university applications, they all did very, very well. And in fact, four of his friends went to Oxbridge. One of them was one of these children who had taken no public exams but had started to do an open university course, aged about 17, and he got in on the back of that and his interview. But I think it is viewed very favourably. I think so.
Right.
Carolyn, how do you, both your son who went to university and your daughter who's in sixth form now, both of them went to sixth form, how did they transition from home, like a kind of very, I'd say, pleasant, easygoing environment, to sixth form? Like, that must have been quite traumatic for them.
Well, it depends on the personality of the child. So they had actually, they did shift into more academic study when they were about 14 and a half. And my eldest son decided he wanted to do 9 GCSEs. And so then he had to shift up a gear. And from never having really written an essay or done real academic work, he then did shift up a gear and did manage to get his 9 GCSEs, all very respectable grades. So he was used to the academic work once he went to sixth form. But what floored my eldest was the intense being with so many people from 8:30 until 4:30, and then wanting to do football, and then wanting to join all the clubs in school, and then coming home and doing his work. And he found that quite an adjustment, managing his time, I think, more than anything. But my other son actually hasn't found that a problem at all, because his personality is different and he didn't find it tiring. I've noticed, in fact, he seems to be doing a lot less work, which he hates me to say, than when he was homeschooled, I think. But he's always been very self-motivated and managed his own time very well. So it wasn't a problem for him. I think it was probably time management that got them most, but they both really loved it. And actually, it was lovely when my eldest went into sixth form. It took about sort of 6 weeks, 8 weeks to get used to the whole thing and to reflect on how his previous education had been, because I think it's quite difficult for children to be objective about their education, because if they've only experienced one type, you know, they can't compare. But then he had experienced school, and he said, "Mum, I've been thinking about school, and I really, really love school now I'm in sixth form, but I am so glad I haven't been here for 10 years. I'm so glad I was homeschooled until now." So for me, that was great. Yes. Because you don't know, do you? Yeah. You make decisions sometimes, and you don't really know what the outcome will
be. If there are parents listening in tonight, hopefully there are lots, and they're thinking about it, and I know there are some, what would your sort of 2 tips be to them? What do you want to say to them, really? You know, these parents. I mean, are you just going to say, yep, do it, or think about the child's personality?
Well, you need to want to do it yourself as well. Okay. It does need to work for the parent. Yep. And the child. I think if a child was begging you to do it and you really didn't feel like you could, I think it could be a very difficult thing to do. But anyone can do it. And I know so many people who've thought they couldn't do it, but actually made the decision to do it. And you don't need to have any qualification to do it. In fact, children from parents who are teachers do no better in homeschooling. Homeschool children actually outperform on many counts, and socially, emotionally, educationally, no matter what the educational background of their parent. And in fact, research shows that educational background of a parent where a parent hasn't actually graduated from college, they can actually, their children can achieve an even greater advantage over their peers in school. So you mustn't worry that you don't know enough. Right. That isn't a problem. It's do you want to do it, and do you feel that you could spend a day, the whole day, every day, yeah, doing things, yes, with your children? If you like being with your children, I think that it will work. I don't know anyone for whom it hasn't worked, where the parent has wanted to do, yes, it, and the child, yeah, has been happy.
And so, you know, lack of money, I guess, potentially coming into the house, one of the mums expressed to me. Yeah. So you've got to be willing to have a slightly different lifestyle than perhaps you might have had if you had two parents working.
The biggest cost is the loss of income. Yeah, yeah. But I know people who are single parents who are managing on benefits and still managing to do it, because there are an awful lot of free resources now available on the internet. And
right.
And around in London, a lot of facilities are available to home educators that are available to schools, discounts and things like that. So,
well,
there's a huge, huge network of us now. There are over 600 members on the Hertfordshire Yahoo site, and there are about 350 on the Hertfordshire Facebook page. So, you know, there are enough people around organising things and doing things so you can tap into.
So you're not alone.
You're
home.
Not alone, no, at all. Not alone. No.
Thank you. Thank you so much. In a minute, we're going to talk to another mum. Lydia.
We've had a message in, actually, Carolyn, you've had a message in from Lisa Nichols and the Book Mums. She said, "So long as you read loads to kids at home." I did not pay Carolyn to say that. There you go. So we whenever it comes to books, we know Lisa's very passionate. Thanks for that message. And please tweet us or send us any messages on Facebook for our guests. We'd love to keep a conversation going with our listeners. Welcome back to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Your place, your voice, your music. Now, we're talking about homeschooling this evening. And we've just talked to Carolyn Crawshaw, who homeschooled five children and is homeschooling five of her own children. And now we're moving on to a fantastic duo, Janet and Gemma Roberts, who... Mom Janet has homeschooled two of her children, and Gemma's one. And Gemma and Janet are both in the studio with us this evening. You're very, very welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Now, Gemma, tell us a little bit. I mean, we've heard from Carolyn what it's like as a passionate mother to homeschool five children. Tell us what it's like to be homeschooled.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed actually being different from my friends. They'd say, oh, I had such a long day at school today and we did all this and it was really boring. And I said, well, I had a really nice day at home. We did lots of exciting things and learned lots of new things. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
And I think what you've just mentioned touches on what every parent's biggest fear is: friends. So can you build up a network of strong friendships even though you don't go to school?
Yeah, definitely. I think Mum and Dad were very good in getting us involved in other kind of community activities, particularly church. But we did other things like orchestra, gymnastics, swimming in particular was our main kind of contact with the outside world, as it were. We did that three or four times a week. So, yeah, my closest friends, they all went to school and we're still very close today.
That's fantastic. I think that would be, I mean, I come to the subject of homeschooling so cold, you know, I just kind of, it seems so alien to me. They're like, you know, the way Carolyn was saying, everybody can do this. I couldn't. I seriously couldn't. I don't think I'd have the patience. I don't think I'd have the discipline. It's like working from home, isn't it? You know, in a way. But, and my biggest worry would be peer relationships. But that's great to hear. It's absolutely not an issue.
What about, though, Gemma, going from being at home with mum, dad, your brother, and then you went into school at 11, didn't you, to
yeah,
a large
right.
comprehensive?
Yes.
I mean, if you're honest, did you not sort of think, oh, my goodness, what's mum done to me now? Or were you ready?
Well, as far as I remember the situation, yeah. It was entirely my choice.
Okay.
So my brother had gone to school 3 years before,
yeah.
And I just thought, oh, it's the thing to do.
Right.
I know that I'll have to go at some point
yeah.
to get qualifications and... It seemed like an ideal time when I knew all my friends were at the same stage of changing to a new school.
Yes. Oh,
so
okay.
I thought at that stage, it's the most likely time that I'd be in the same position mm-hmm. as other people in having that big change.
And when you were at home, did you just literally get up in the morning and go, oh, Mum, I'd like to do cooking today? Or was there some kind of programme on the wall?
We definitely had a structure. So we'd do... like maths, English and science in the morning.
Okay.
And then the afternoons were generally a bit more free for exploring other things. We did our music lessons and practice and we'd play outside. And
was there an option if the weather was lovely, could you just say, I'm staying out and playing a bit longer? You know, was it that free?
I think it probably was. Especially when it was snowing, we'd stay out all day.
I'm just going to swing the microphone around now to Gemma's mum. So, Janet, welcome.
Hello.
Is that okay for you?
That's lovely. Thank you.
You know, is it lovely to hear the memories that Gemma recalls from being homeschooled?
It's delightful and it's so encouraging when you realise that your children enjoyed what you did for them. We did have a plan. It wasn't on the wall.
Right.
It wasn't ticked off every moment. It was a general sort of weekly, termly plan that left enough flexibility for us not to be pressured, but to take advantage of unseen opportunities that crept up.
So you've got 3 years between the two children.
Yes.
So were you teaching two different things? Were they having two different experiences? Were they doing the same?
Sometimes we did the same. When we did a project, we'd just trundle along and Gemma would drop out whenever it got too intense for her. And we'd carry on until Thomas got to the exhaustion point of his ability at that point. But sometimes Gemma would do some work and I would do something different with Thomas and then he would do some book work and I would spend time with Gemma. But an awful lot of time was spent on the floor together. I used to have to buy new pairs of jeans every January sales because they just about last a year before the knees wore out.
Yeah. And were you ever lonely doing it?
No, I don't think so. My husband was very supportive and I was able to get out and do other things. We had a bit of a policy of spending time doing things for each of us. So Gemma would go to an activity, Thomas and I would wait. Thomas would go to an activity, Gemma and I would wait. And I would go to an activity and the two children would wait for me.
Oh, okay.
So they learned life wasn't just all about them.
Yes.
But it was about other people as well.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's a really valuable thing to teach your kids, that, because I think an awful lot of what parenting is now is putting your children at the epicenter of the world. And actually, I don't know that it's a great thing to teach. I mean, they have to learn to wait and learn to, you know that it's not always completely about them, that wait for your brother, or wait for your sister. And I think it's a valuable lesson. But the thing that's overwhelming about what you're saying, Janet, is how much time it's taken you. I mean, how did you ever get to go and have a coffee on your own, or like, you know, just to have a bit of downtime for yourself? It must have been a full-time job.
It was pretty full on, and yeah, that's what you take on. But then parenting is pretty full on. You just add an extra dimension to that.
Well, it's a massive dimension. I mean, at least, you know, from 9 to 3, you know, I've my 5-year-old's, you know, pretty much preoccupied, you know, but you never get that break.
No, but it's precious time to have with your children, and really enjoyable. If, as Carolyn said, you want to do it, then it's really precious time with your children, and it goes so quickly.
So, I mean, can I be a bit cheeky and say your relationship now between the two of you, do you think it's different because of the experience you've had? I mean, I know it's hard to tell because you didn't, but I mean, you seem like you're really, really
close.
Yeah, close.
Yeah, I think we are. Have a pretty close relationship.
I think we are, yes. But not too close.
And what about with Thomas? Is it?
He's a boy.
Right.
The boys are slightly different.
Okay.
You can't go shopping with Thomas.
No, I can't go shopping for 5 or 6 hours with Thomas. But he still comes to us. He's 26. He's married.
Yeah.
And he still discusses big decisions with us.
Right.
Which I think's really, really good that he values our input.
Yeah. And did you have any friends doing it at the same time you were homeschooling?
Yes, there were one or two, but again, we did have to travel to various, maybe Southgate, I think we went to, and North London to meet up with them. So that was once or twice a week, and that was really play time for the children and downtime for mums to have coffee, to chat about what we were doing, exchange ideas.
Janet, you said to me when we were talking earlier that you used to scour educational catalogues, but quite a lot of the stuff came from America. But from what Carolyn was saying to us, actually the resources are much more accessible now than maybe 15, 20 years ago.
Yes, I think we had Maths Blaster, which was a programme for teaching maths, and that was about the limit of our use of the computer at that point. There are so many more resources now, but you don't actually need vast quantities.
Right.
A few well-chosen items are really useful.
Fantastic. And how strict were you, Janet, when it came to, if the kids were a bit giddy and didn't feel like concentrating, would you go with the flow, or did you think, no, we've got coursework to cover, we're going to stick with it?
No, we didn't have coursework to cover. That's why the plans were very flexible. We could go with the flow, and if there was something that grabbed their attention, we ran with that, and we ran as far as we could, and we enjoyed every minute of it.
And I know, Shirley, you feel very passionate about that, you know, about children being allowed to like go in the direction of their interests and be nurturing children's interests.
Yeah. Certainly as a teacher in a more structured environment, that's what I'm trying to do, and we're encouraged to do that. So having learnt about homeschooling this week, you know, that's really attracted me. And Gemma, do you think you knew what you love doing? Because I know you're training to be, are you training to be a teacher? No. Or?
So I'm doing education studies.
Right.
That's my degree.
Yeah.
Which mainly done to teaching, but I haven't decided yet.
And when did you know that was your interest, do you think? Because you've been allowed to follow your interest since you were little.
Well, I started off doing physiotherapy at university and then decided it wasn't for me.
Right.
So got halfway through the course and switched. So I guess I'm still working out what my interests are.
Okay, so that may not have impacted on...
It just means that I can explore lots of different interests rather than being fixed to one particular pathway.
And what does your brother do? What did he end up doing?
He's a doctor.
Right.
So he went to Cardiff and did medicine.
Wow.
Did he used to play doctors when he was little, Janet?
Yes, he did. He had a little medical kit. He used to go into my parents and do surgery on them.
Oh. But, well, thank you so much, both of you, for coming in. And it's just so lovely to see you together. And they're really smiling here in the studio.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You couldn't be a more positive example for homeschooling. I don't think it's possible. Great stuff. We'll come back to our next guest in just a few minutes. But I just want to give a little shout out to Aaron, Joseph and Sadie, who are listening in from Sandpit Lane. I hope you're having a nice evening. Welcome back to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, next up, we have a guest who's joining us on the phone, and her name is Emma Wedd. Emma, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much for joining us this evening on the Parents Show.
You're welcome.
Now, Emma, your position is a little bit different. You are homeschooling, but not necessarily electively. Tell us exactly what's happened in your case.
I have a 9-year-old who is autistic and diagnosed ADHD. The school that he previously attended put him on a part-time table because he couldn't cope being in full-time mainstream school. So at that point, I had to take up the decision to homeschool when he wasn't at school, because I felt education is very, very important to a child, especially in terms of special needs children, because they can lack so much in it.
So how long have you been having your school, your child educated at home now then?
14 months.
14 months. And you know, do you feel it's going okay? Is it really changed your life, Emma?
It has changed my life. I am a single parent, mm-hmm. And I was working full time.
Okay.
So now I only work part time. He only actually attends school for an hour a day, and the rest of the time we homeschool. I have to be selective in what I homeschool because it does trigger the meltdowns. So we cover like math, science, time-telling, timetables. I do arrange for him to play for social interaction with another child that's on a part-time table so that he gets there, and we go into town and we'll do different things on different days. And reading, as somebody said earlier on, he does a lot of reading. He loves reading.
Emma, I'm really glad you were listening in earlier, because one of the things I wanted to ask is, it's been overwhelming how positive networks are, homeschooling networks are. Have you tapped into this? Is that something you were aware of?
No. I was not aware of any of the homeschooling networks. What I've done is been done by myself. I went out, I spent quite a bit of money on the Key Stage 2 workbooks that he needed for the homeschooling. Various posters to put up to make it into a school environment so that he was aware that when it was school time, we did school work to make that very clear to him. And then when it was home time was the play time and the chill time.
So actually quite different, Carolyn, to do you want to come in there to what you were saying? You tried to kind of get away from the school thing, whereas Emma's saying you make it more like a school, Emma, aren't you?
I do, yes.
Let's hear what Carolyn sort of, you know, do you have anything to say?
Well, that just sounds like the perfect homeschooling situation. You can homeschool in the way that suits your children. And I know many home educators who have a more structured approach to home education, and I did want to do that kind of education to start with. I would have felt very comfortable if I'd known this was homeschooling time.
Yes.
And this wasn't, but actually it really didn't suit my children, which is why I abandoned it. And I think most homeschooling parents do find a way that works for them and for their children, which is the beauty of it.
Emma, is your son responding well to what you're doing?
He does. Again, we have to be very selective, because routine is very important with the autistic child, which is why we did it the way that I did. It's not easy by any ways or means. And there are days where we will not get anything done but reading.
Okay.
Because he's just not in that frame of mind and it will trigger a meltdown. So it is very hard.
It sounds like a huge amount of pressure on you, Emma. Are you getting any support?
Now I'm getting more support from various agencies for help for me and for my son. We're just in the middle of reapplying for a statement. Well, it's the new educational health plan, actually, that we're applying for that comes law in September. To hopefully, because this is my son's second mainstream school. He was managed move to a new school. So I'm now looking to get him into a specialist school.
And what do you think your chances are?
It's very hard because there's so many loopholes in the system trying to get that statement for a child. I mean, we got refused last year for him, and he'd already been on a part-time table for 7 months.
Gosh.
So it is very, very difficult.
So at the moment then, you don't know how long you're going to be homeschooling for, because am I understanding that you'd quite like to get him in back into a sort of more formal educational environment?
I would, particularly for my son. He has friends that he has made at his new school, and he finds it very difficult not being able to play with them.
Right.
Okay, they do come and knock for him, but it's letting him out of children of the same age is quite difficult. I stand on my front doorstep and watch him play over the front of my house because of just the way my son is. Mm. So the social interaction he would have at school is what I believe, and the inclusion as
yes.
well
yeah.
of day trips and things like that.
So you said you're working part-time. Do you mean you work for the 1 hour a day when he's in school? I mean, how are you juggling that? Or have you got family supporting you?
I have my mum and my stepdad are fantastic support to me.
Okay.
And they look after my son in the evenings when I work, and I work one weekend a month as well.
So you homeschool all day, then you go to work in the evening?
Yes.
Wow.
It's very tough.
It is very tough, and anybody that they would need that support if they are, even if they're in a partnership, they would definitely need the support there to do it. But for me to work, my it teaches my son that when he leaves school, that is what we do.
Mm.
It's another lesson in life that I believe he should know.
Hello, I think that's really important, that everyday life is such an education to our children. My mother-in-law lived with us, and my son, when he was 10, used to go shopping with her. And he learnt so much about maths and economics and shopping. And when he went to university, he said, oh gosh, the cost of living's really gone up since I did grand shopping.
Aww.
So as you say, your example of going to work is really good.
Yeah.
And don't underestimate just everyday life and the lessons of everyday life.
Mm.
Don't be pressured by what other people's expectations are. Do
yes.
the best you can for your son.
We do, and we do the shopping. He comes with me with our list, and we do normal things like that as well. There are days where we might only get one sheet of work done because we're doing other activities within the house. It could be about learning to keep house almost, I suppose, the jobs that he does, or we're going out to do something. So it's not always work every day.
I used to keep a diary of things like that, things that we did, things that we talked about, and trips we went to. And I find that a tremendous encouragement because we covered so much ground.
Yes.
And I just find that really helpful. So that's maybe something to think about.
That's a very good idea, yes.
Yeah, thank you, Janet. That's really positive things. I think that'd be lovely, Emma. You know, from what you describe, it sounds like you're working very, very hard for many hours. But it might be quite a nice thing. Might need to keep a diary and look back in 5, 10 years and see what an amazing job you did, and you know, when your son will have changed, won't he?
Yes.
So Carolyn's nodding here. I think she'd quite like to say something.
And I just wanted to say that at the meeting that we're having on Saturday, there'll be several parents who are in similar situations to you, so I don't know if you're able to come, but there is in fact a mum in St Albans who is at the moment setting up a support group for homeschooling parents with similar needs to you and your child, so it might be worth you coming along or getting in touch with some of the local groups so you could find some support. Mm.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're not quite in St Albans, Emma, but anyway, it's all going to be on the Facebook, and you know we've got numbers and things, so it's certainly worth looking at, I think, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
And now you've spoken to Carolyn. Will you be there, Carolyn?
Yes, I will be there.
So, Emma, I wanted to thank you so much. I know you and I have spoken in the week for coming on. This is a new thing for you to do, but you know, thank you, and I'm sure you will have helped other listeners that are listening in tonight. So, and good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All the best, Emma.
Bye-bye.
Now, I just wanted to let you know, we've got some messages from Christine Waterman, who is quite an old hand at homeschooling. And what she said on Facebook, she sent us a couple of messages. She said, I thought that I was giving things up to home educate, but it was life enhancing. I met wonderful people, still my closest friends 6 years later. I went to exhibitions, concerts, operas, discovered an interest in local history and improved my general knowledge. Another thing she says, my two tips to home educate would be to follow their interests and to mix with others online or in local groups. So I think that's a really great message for Emma, you know, to kind of tap into the local groups a little bit more.
That's why we're doing the show, isn't it, Lydia? Because we feel really keen to try and put people in touch. You know, there's always somebody out there that's an expert in something.
Absolutely.
That you need help in, or that we need help in, or we need more information about. So do you know, check that out.
And that's exactly what the Parents Show is about. So if there are, I mean, we've covered the topic of homeschooling because we've been told by you, our listeners, that it's a subject that you want covered. So if there are any other subjects out there, the best shows that we've ever done are ones that come from you, our listeners. So drop us an email at parentshow@radioverulam.com, or find us on Facebook. We're Radio Verulam's The Parent Show. You can find us on Twitter. Send us your ideas, your thoughts. If you would like to be on the show, we'd be delighted. If you'd like to volunteer, be part of the team, we'd be even happier. So just let us know and give us a call on 01727 839 926, just like the frequency.
Now, I just wanted to sort of recap and say, you know, thinking about when we started the research, we were told that there were 500 children in Hertfordshire being home educated. I'm starting to think that actually there's many more than that from what we're hearing, and that obviously it is a big community out there that are working together, supporting, you know, one another. And, you know, you heard Gemma speak tonight and how positive and enthusiastic she was about the experience that she had. And Carolyn, who was with us, has got, was it five children, Lydia?
That's right.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. I mean, she's so inspirational. Mm. And Janet, who's still with us in the studio. Mm. It's just fantastic.
So it may well be worth you thinking about it. And, you know, here we've given you some thoughts, and we're going to put some more stuff up later on the website. Now, I would just like to now sort of change tack a bit and say good evening, Claire.
Good evening, Shirley.
And Claire joins us every, or most weeks, for, and we say, quickly, Claire, speak. But tonight we want to hear a little bit more from Claire, because Claire runs a magazine that is a really great resource. Just tell us a little bit about it. You know, when did this magazine start, Claire, and how?
Oh, now you're really putting me on the spot. I would say 2007, been going about 7 years.
Yep.
So it's become something that I was actually quite pleased the other week, or the other month or so ago, when I last distributed the magazines. I actually went into one of the schools, and one of the school secretaries, who, no disrespect to them at all, I know they're really, really busy, but generally they give a bit of a huff and a puff when they see me, because yes, I've got boxes full of these heavy magazines. One of them said to me, oh, thank goodness, we were wondering when that was coming. And I thought, that's fantastic. Nice. I feel like I've arrived now. That's great, because hopefully parents do see it as a good resource, a useful resource that's got community information, it's got things that are happening, it's got lots of local activities. It's very, very local, and I think that's what people like about it, because it's the only thing of its kind, really, that's just for local families.
And how often do you publish it?
It's four times a year, right. So it comes out seasonally. So next week the spring issue is going to be out on the 1st, 2nd of March, and then obviously summer, autumn. So they're all sort of themed along the season. So there are things to do that are appropriate for the particular season, and we try and vary it as much as possible. Hopefully, people have some interesting features and articles in there that they quite like to read, and they learn something from. Perhaps we've varied it, and you put me on the spot because you said I've got a bit longer to talk about the magazine. And I thought, now, what have I put in this one now? And I thought, one of the things that I did do was I've put a double page spread of things to do on a budget in the local area. So there's a few suggestions about local places to go. And we did it briefly, I think, a few weeks ago. I ran through some of the things, but it's a bit more detailed and it's got the contact details on there as well. So I think that might be quite helpful for people. But because it's local, people can... You register, you understand the yes, area, and you yes. know the area. So,
and do you know what, Claire? We're talking in here, but we don't actually. We haven't said the name of your magazine. I know lots of people know it.
You know,
it might be quite good to just tell people what we're talking about.
What, that Raring to Go one? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Raring to Go. Website as well. The website reflects the magazine. Everything, all the activities and events that are in the web, in the magazine, because there's a huge, I think it's about 12 pages, the What's On guide in this issue.
Yeah.
So there's loads and loads of stuff going on. And all of that is also on the website, but mm-hmm. the website is updated obviously more regularly because I come on here, so I need to update it on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So that is packed full of every single family activity that's going on and some activities that aren't necessarily so family focused, but you know, local things. Mm. And it's very easy to access that information just to go onto the events calendar and look in March or April for whatever kind of event you're looking for.
So people just type in Raring to Go calendar.
Yeah, if you go into raringtogo.co.uk/St Albans and it'll come up with the St Albans website, and if you click on what's on, there's a big events calendar and everything is in there. It tells you how far away it is from your postcode, so you can actually post localize it specifically, so you know exactly how far things are, and there are little maps and directions. It's quite specific, so hopefully it's a useful resource. But we're always open to change and improvement, and if anybody has any comments on it, then we would like to hear from
tell
them.
You
of course,
that's one of the great things about homeschooling. Mm. you've got time to do all these things.
Yeah, well, I will rely on you then. I need to let you have all these details. Yes. You need to be logging on to Raring to Go for these.
Yes, I wish they'd had things like that when I was homeschooling.
Yeah.
There seems to be so much more going on locally,
yeah.
which is fantastic, and so much more support for people.
Maybe that's one of your prime audiences, Claire, to be, you know, the homeschooling community. We're finding out how big it is now.
Yeah. You know. Well, that's very interesting, isn't it? Because it's an area that perhaps we feel that we access all the children in St Albans with Raring to Go through the local schools,
yeah,
but not necessarily through the homeschool children at all. There's no real one central point, which is... you know, something that perhaps we can address and
talk about. I think they'd quite like that, you know, that your magazine, because it's got such a sort of, you know, wide amount of activities and all different kinds of things, isn't it? It's not too formal.
Well, the great thing is, I mean, that all the local museums are always doing, they've got ongoing exhibitions mm. that are always going to be relevant to the curriculum. And those ones, they're open all the time. They're free to local residents. Yeah. So it's those sort of things are a great resource. And obviously during the week, that's particularly when you want to take them, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think homeschooling parents don't know everything to start with, so it's all an education for them as well. And using these sorts of events to learn with your children is really an important role model, I think.
Mm, definitely. Lydia, is anything you want to mention tonight?
Well, no, I just wanted to say again, if you've got any comments about tonight's show, jump onto our Facebook page. It's Radio Verulam's The Parents Show, and let us know what you think. Tell us, join in the conversation with us here in the studio. We'd love to hear from you. I've just tweeted a photo of Claire Healy yapping away about this week's activity. I've got the copyright, Claire. And so if you've got a moment, go in, have a look. Send us a message on Twitter. We're at Parent Show, and or send us an email on parentshow@radioverulam.com. We'd love to hear from you.
And let's thank all our guests for tonight. It's been another busy but informative show, I think.
Definitely. Good evening and thanks very much.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.